test 1, 2, 3, 4. And you don't have to worry about making mistakes. There's no such thing as making mistakes on this. Okay. This is Madeline Davis interviewing Annie, July 10th, 1985. And you want to read the consent form then?
The whole thing?
The whole thing, both paragraphs.
All right.
This is the only thing you ever have to read.
I hereby give to the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project the tapes recorded on July 10, 1985 for such educational and scholarly uses and purposes as the directors E. Kennedy and M. Davis shall have determined. I further consent to the transcription of any or all of this interview as educational and solid, what is that word?
Scholarly
work required. I have been assured by that only my
pseudonym
Annie will be employed in any use of these tapes. I understand that at some future date the tapes will be housed in an archive chosen by the directors of the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project and will be available for public access, governed by the rules of the archive. I give consent that these tapes be made available. I wonder if she's speaking around the corner. No, I speak.
Okay. Be available for the archive, for use of the archive.
Yeah. I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes immediately.
That's it. Great.
Signed, Annie.
Very good. I won't ask you to read anything else. It's kind of a pain in the neck to do that, but since we don't use people's real names, we can't have them sign a release. Because, signing a release with a pseudonym doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So this is about the closest we can get. So, are you really worried that
somebody's
around the corner? Because I told her she couldn't come in.
No, she knows everything about me.
I told her this is private. Anyway. So, what we're trying to get from people is information about the old community. And if you, knowing that a book is going to be written about lesbian life in the old days, what do you think is the most important thing that people should know about gay life, in history, in our past?
That they should know about gay life?
Uh-huh. What should we not forget to tell people in this book?
I don't know. That it's a beautiful life if you want it to be.
If you want it to be.
Right.
How is it? How is it beautiful?
Well, it is.
How is it beautiful for you?
Well, I've been both ways. Mm-hmm. I've been both a man and woman. Mm-hmm. And I find the gay life more now. I find it more beautiful, as you may say, than I did years ago, simply because I didn't really find myself. I was too young, you know? And I was in the gay life, and I decided to get married because I wanted to do something with my life.
Yeah.
And I got married, and then after 10 years of that, then I came back into the gay life, which I really absolutely, I love being in now. Mm-hmm. A husband is like a job, you know?
It's a great line.
It is. It's like a job. Mm-hmm. It's like a 9-to-5 job, you know? Where with the same type of sex, you're more freer, I think. Mm-hmm. Not that you're going to go cheat on them or that, but you just feel more relaxed about it. If you both want to go somewhere or do the same thing or whatever, you both will do it. You know, we're with a husband or that, they don't want to always do things, you know? And it's always like, to me it seems like it's more of a reporting thing, you know?
Gotta tell what you do all the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here you do too, but it just doesn't seem to have the pressure as far as I'm concerned, you know?
How was it different then when you came out? When did you come out?
I came out in the 50s. Early, you want to know my first encounter?
Sure.
Oh. All right. I was involved with Billy Shalino. more commonly known as Billy the Kid. The mob figure.
This is a guy. Okay. I don't know.
He got just shot down on Main Street.
Recently?
Yeah, in 1980, they shot him down.
I missed all the good stuff.
He was in the mafia.
Okay.
Don't you remember they gunned him down? From the.
Oh, wait a minute. Sure, because I know one of his relatives.
I went with him.
God, how wild.
You better believe how wild.
That's amazing. How old were you when you went with him?
Oh, I was 18.
You were 18, okay.
I was 18 when I went with him. And he used to hang on my neck morning, noon, and night. And the only time that I would get away from him is if I was saying I was going home to change and pick me back up in a couple hours. And then I would be long gone. That was a little snip. So Leonard's Tavern on Main and Genesee and Chippewa, that was a straight bar. And I used to go in there. And then all of a sudden, and he'd know where to find me. Then all of a sudden, it turned gay.
I remember that.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So I knew the owner, Leonard, and the woman he lived with, uh-huh. Adele. And I says, well, if I was playing hiding out on Billy, I said, well, this is one place he would never find me, that I can sit and drink and he will never find me. Or suspect mm-hmm. me of being there.
Because it was a gay bar?
Mm-hmm.
So you went there
to hide out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So my first encounter, because I didn't know where to go that night or where to sleep, and I had a few drinks in me because I was hiding out on him, I ended up with this girl, Buff. It was my first girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that didn't really mean anything.
How did she approach you? I mean, you were new.
She just made a pitch for me.
What did she say?
She asked what I was doing that night and was buying me drinks, this and that, and if I would go home with her. Sure, I went home. I had nowhere to stay, you know.
Did you think anything was going to happen?
Well, I sort of figured, but I didn't care.
You weren't scared?
Well, I was more scared of him
uh-huh.
at this point.
Okay.
I felt secure, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that was my first encounter with her, but that was the only one time.
How was that?
I didn't see anything fascinating about it.
Okay.
I really didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was still involved with him in this and that. I really didn't see anything. And then there used to be this, they were always trying to make out with you. But I didn't want no part of it because I was straight. And this girl, Annette, my sister was in there drinking one night, and we don't look like sisters. And everybody had asked my sister, who's that blonde? Who's that girl? Who's that girl? That's my sister.
Is this the sister who was already gay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
And that's another sister. And
this
Annette says, that's not your sister. She says, yes, it is. That's my sister. She says, well, why don't you fix me up with her?
Mm-hmm.
And my sister says, well, if you go to bed with me, I'll give you her phone number. It's the truth.
Uh-huh.
You'll be staying here till tomorrow.
It's a wonderful story.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's how I got started. So, and then I would periodically stop back into the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't gung-ho right at the beginning.
Did you go out with this Annette?
No. Never did.
Poor Annette. All for nothing.
And then I started, I'd go my own way. And it seemed like I was starting to get more involved. I went with the owner of a tavern in Washington. It was the Stage Door. And all the gay kids would come in there. And I just started slowly getting involved with it. And then I went with this one girl. Do I mention Diane? Do I mention names like that?
Yeah, there's enough Dianes around
yeah.
so that nobody's going to really... No, and we block out.
And I went with a few girls. But the one I went with, can I mention her name?
Yeah, she's already mentioned her own, oh.
So, yeah. So, no, and then I went with Andy. Mm-hmm. Andy and I got together, and Andy was the last one I was seeing until I decided to give it up, and then I went and got married. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any relationships during that time that lasted any length of time?
Yeah, Andy and I did, and this girl, Diane and I did. Yeah.
How long, you were with Diane first, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long did you go together?
I went with Diane a couple of years. Mm-hmm. 3 years, 4 years, I forgot really.
And you met where? At the stage door?
No, I met Diane at the old Chesterfield.
Oh yeah, okay. I remember
she used to hang in there all the time.
Uh-huh.
Did you go in there?
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonder I don't know you.
I was still straight then. I didn't go real often, so.
Mm-hmm. And then from Diane, I started going with Andy.
Did you live with Diane?
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that? What kind
you
of
find
relationship
that,
was
that? She was really an introvert. Mm-hmm. She was very, very much to herself. As gay as she was, you did not find her in gay bars. You'd never find Diane in a gay bar. She hated them. Always in a straight bar.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if she was afraid of the competition or what. But she never went into the gay bars.
Did she never told you why?
She never told me why. Mm-hmm. She had tattoos all up and down her arm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had the boy's haircut and, you know, the t-shirt bit and all that. She'd never gone to a gay bar.
Did you like that look? Was that attractive?
I like a masculine, more masculine look, mm-hmm. as you can see.
Me too.
You know?
Yeah.
I like role playing.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, I said that I couldn't see going with a femmy butch.
Uh-huh.
You know? Even though they're doing that today.
Yeah.
I'll find, if anything happened to her, and I'd find some other old masculine butch around.
They're rare birds these days, I'll tell you. So then you met Andy. Where did you meet her?
Oh, I had met Andy. I'd met Andy through Diane and them as the group, uh-huh. you know, from the Chesterfield, the stage door. I met them from all around there. But
how did your relationship with Diane break up?
I don't remember, really. I don't know if her and I broke up and then if I started seeing Andy right after that. Possibly I did, I think I did.
It was real close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I went with Andy, and then Andy and I broke up. But, and then I went with this Pat Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
And I went with her. And then I ended up back with Andy, you know. And
this
Andy,
is all the same few years?
From the few years. Uh-huh. And then I, Andy was the last girl for me to be seeing. To see until, you know, when I was getting married,
uh-huh.
just before I got married. I was engaged and I used to sneak off to see her,
uh-huh.
you know. And then she heard that I did get married. And I guess it really used to bother her, you know, but I had to see what I wanted, what I really, really wanted in life.
In most of those relationships at that time, do you think that you were the one who broke them up, or was it both ways?
Mostly me, I think.
Uh-huh. And how mostly did you feel me. When those breakups happened?
Well, Andy and I, Diane's and my breakoff was, it was a solid breakoff.
Uh-huh.
You know, where with Andy and I, We would break up. And in fact, she was living with me when I had my house on Plymouth Avenue. And we broke up and she got involved with another girl. And she still kept living at my house. And like I said, your life is your life, my life is my life. This home is your home just as well as it's mine. You want to bring your girlfriend in? Bring her in. That's how I felt, you know?
So you were always pretty comfortable with the breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, once you get in your mind, you know, you sit there and think, well, you've got to do something with your life, mm-hmm. you know? And maybe it was toward the, where we'd both agree or whatever, you know? But Andy kept living with me, and then she got involved with another girl. And then then she went and got an apartment, and where she was working closer to her job. I think she went to Georgia for a trip and then came back or something. Mm-hmm. Just coming back a few years ago.
Was there a lot of jealousy among
There's always been between Andy and I.
Well, just among with Diane, everybody. Yeah. Yeah, everybody in the community.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a lot of jealousy. And that's one thing, if you could overcome that. You know what I mean? Especially back then, the butches used to really dress butch. I mean, you wouldn't know if they were guys or girls.
What did they look like?
They looked just like guys.
What did they wear?
Dungarees, t-shirts, DA haircuts, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they wore bras back then, you know.
Did they wear anything?
I don't think they wore anything under there. Maybe they weren't that big yet.
Yet.
Now they're in the middle age.
A little big.
A little droopy.
That's great. What did you look like then? What did you wear?
Oh, what did I wear? I was nice looking.
Mm-hmm. You're still nice looking.
Yeah, well, I had a rather nice shape, you know. And, as one girl puts it, just put it recently to me, you know, if Andy and I ever break up, boy, there'll be a lot in the waiting for you.
For you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And boy, there'll be a waiting list. And this bar maiden spoke up and says, no, she's had them all, the bitch. Smart ass remark.
When you went out to the bars at that time, this is 58, 58 to early 60s, right? How would you dress? They were wearing dungarees and t-shirts.
Yeah, we dressed in slacks. I used to dress, when I first started coming around and hanging around in those bars, I used to wear skirts, high heels, and, you know, I used to wear my heels in that all the time. And then you started getting into a habit where you were wearing slacks and jerseys, mm-hmm. you know. Dungarees then weren't really in for girls then. They weren't in. It was slacks and that. Mm-hmm. And then on occasion you'd wear a dress and you'd dress up.
Like on a weekend or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when you really got into saying the hell with it and drinking and all that, you'd just wear anything that was comfortable. Uh-huh. You know?
What were the bars that you went to during that time?
The bars? I went both to the gay bars and the straight bars. Like, the Stage Door was Dugan's old place, right?
Oh, they were the same?
I think so. And it was mostly a straight bar, but all the gay kids came in it, which was right around the corner from the Chesterfield, which was straight. The gay kids used to go into there. It was mixed. And then you had... it was a bar around the corner there, which I very seldom ever went in there. I can't think of the name of it.
The Mardi Gras?
Yeah. Yeah. Was it the Mardi Gras then or after?
I don't remember. I think the Mardi Gras was about the same time as the Chesterfield, maybe slightly later. Midtown was near there.
The Midtown. That's okay. It, the Midtown. Mm-hmm. Which I I think maybe I had stepped into once or twice. I never went into that bar.
That was a straight bar, wasn't it?
That was straight, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, mixed, too.
Yeah.
They were all mixed down around there. And then the Coral Club.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That was a straight bar. I was bar meeting there. And then it turned gay. And I used to be the barmaid there.
You were the barmaid when it became gay?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
How did you like being a barmaid in a gay bar?
Oh, I like it.
You did? How were the patrons with you?
Very good, very loose. Mm-hmm. You know, very cordial. Because you were more or less acquainted with them, you were used to them. You know? Mm-hmm. But the first encounter, you know, you don't really understand the gay life. If you, the first time, if you're straight going into a gay bar like you, you're petrified. Everybody is. Because you think that's all they want is that they're like vultures, yeah. In which case they're not. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. But it sounded on your first encounter, you know, when you first met Buff. That you didn't sound like, it didn't seem like you were scared. Do you need to answer that?
No, it's all right.
Because I can put the pause on if you want to answer.
Is that interrupting it?
No, it's okay.
No, leave it wrong. It's okay. Probably a gossip call.
But you, it didn't sound when you were telling me about it like you were scared at all. Were you?
No, I wasn't afraid. I would go, like I said, I used to go in there when the bar was straight. It seemed like the gay kids were taking over all my hangouts. Uh-huh.
Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that you were there?
If you think about it, the Coral Club was straight, right?
Uh-huh.
Single, okay, turns gay. But, back then, the gay kids didn't have it as easy as the gay kids have it today. Because of the role-playing and people still being closed-minded on it. Uh-huh. I think they're more open-minded on the fact of gay kids and that. I think they have a little different understanding about them. They're more knowledgeable.
So you think role-playing made life harder?
Well, because all they had to do was write the name queer across their t-shirt. They didn't even have to do that, you know? But it's just, they were dressed in drag, you know, so butchy looking. And they weren't accepted then. In fact, a lot of times, I would tell Andy, you walk behind me.
Why would you do that?
Well, if I didn't want someone to know, you know.
Uh-huh.
You had to keep it more to yourself.
So it was scary?
A little bit. Just a little bit. Knowing that you weren't as accepted, you know. Now, like today, I will go into any restaurant, anywhere. With Andy. Maybe because I'm older too and I don't really care what people think. Back then I think you have a more conscience or whatever. You know, what is people gonna, you know.
Well, times were scarier.
Sure
then.
They were.
Uh-huh. Did you ever get harassed on the streets when you were out for being gay?
Not really. Sometimes they'd yell, go by in cars and yell queers or whatever, you know. But on the whole, no. I wasn't.
But they didn't yell queer at you when you were alone?
Well, no, because I didn't really look queer.
But you looked queer when you were with somebody who...
Well, not that I looked queer, but the person I was with looked queer. Queer.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. So it kind of put you...
And I mean, they used to really go and get the DA haircut that looked like a guy's, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, Andy and I, we have a very close attraction to one another. And it's a good thing I didn't meet her like when I was 16 or that. And then take her home and say, Ma, would you like to meet my lover?
Why?
Well, because you dress so butchy. Andy looked just like a guy.
Uh-huh.
In fact, now they start to notice that she's a... They'll say ladies, you know, but back then, you know, it was sir here and sir there, and you know. And you'd just keep your mouth shut.
So it was easier to sort of pass for a straight couple.
Yeah.
Did you feel safer doing that?
Well, you just kept your mouth shut, you know. Maybe you didn't know any better, too young to know, you know.
Yeah.
Like today, if someone said, sir, I would say this is not a sir, it's a she.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe because I'm older now and I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I've done what I wanted to do. Huh?
Then you wouldn't have done that.
No.
What do you think would have happened then if you would have done that?
Back then, I don't know. Maybe they would have told you to stay out of their place or whatever, or, you know? But I think society in itself is just so more open-minded about the gay community and that.
Yes.
It's more accept. It's not that it's more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got more open minds in society in it, you know?
What did it feel like then to be with a woman who looked very masculine?
What did it feel like?
Yeah.
That's the only type of woman I ever went after.
What?
Is it? I don't know. Maybe it's something deep in the role-playing or something. I don't know.
What is it about those women that you liked? Or that you liked? Well, still like it.
Yeah. I still like it.
Yeah. What is it?
Maybe they have a little masculine, they're a little more masculine, or, you know, instead of someone with long fingernails or whatever, the femme butch that dresses like a feminine, acting like a butch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. To me, I'm not ready for that yet.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And you would never have been able to be with a woman who was a femme?
No.
Why?
Just, I don't know. Because, I don't know, it'd be like two femmes being together.
Right.
So what would you do with it? You know what I mean?
That's what I want to know. What does that feel like to think about that? What does that feel like?
I don't think about it. I wouldn't like it.
Is that weird?
I think, I don't know. It's not to me that it's weird. To me, I think it's, what do you do with it? You know what I mean? It's not that it's not weird to me.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't, I don't know. I like to have someone that's more powerful over me.
Okay.
All right?
Uh-huh.
Than someone like me.
Because
then probably, which I would not be happy in, maybe I would take the lead. You know, what the hell are you doing? I don't know. Momentarily, but it would never be me.
You would
I like,
it.
Yeah.
You like what? You
no, I like the more masculine type butch.
Mm-hmm. What did it mean to you to say that you were a femme in those relationships? Who were you in those relationships? What were you like?
Well, I was the femme, I was a woman type, I was a woman.
And what did that mean? What did you do? What did you mean?
What did I do? In those days, if you were with a very masculine butch, such as two that I know of, all right, going back to those days, what people don't understand, society, I think they look at gay kids and all they look at them for is, I think that it's sex, that they're dirty-minded or whatever, and all they're having, it's all that's on their mind is sex, 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 which isn't true, you know? I think it's just the closeness or the tenderness that you get out of another woman, or whatever a man gets out of another man, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Am I getting off the beaten track?
No, you're saying exactly, you know, the most interesting kinds of things. I'm too interested in listening to you to drink. No, it's fascinating because I don't hear enough femmes talk.
Oh.
You know, and you're saying a lot of the things I would say.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful to hear another woman say them.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. How When you were with a butch that you liked, how would they treat you when you went out?
Well, they would play the part of a man, and they would, to the point where they liked your cigarettes. Sometimes you sit on that stool, you don't move. You know,
they would tell you to do that? How did you feel about that?
Well, that's the part you played. I was the woman part. It's just the same difference as a man is with a woman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But two girls, there's one more domineering than the other, you know.
So you would feel okay about sitting on the bar stool and not moving, because that was your...
I played the woman part, the femme.
Uh-huh.
like I stated, there's two that I know of, going back those days, that are two virgins that has never had sex with a man. And
these are butches?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And to this day, where back then, just because you're two women going together, that doesn't mean that, let's say a couple of the butches, they're what you call untouchable.
Huh?
They were not allowed to be touched at all, even if you wanted to. So they did all the work. Sure.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I didn't know any different. I didn't mind.
You didn't mind?
No.
You liked it? Uh-huh. Were there ever any women that you wanted to touch?
There was one or two. But that was a no-no.
They wouldn't let you?
Mm-mm. So that's what people don't understand about the gay life. To this day, you know, straight people don't understand about it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I think there's more dirtier sex that goes on between a man and a woman than there are that goes on between two women.
I'm not sure what you mean by dirty sex.
Well, like they consider, like two women together or two men, that, you know, that they're, all they do is,
It's all right. I know the tape recorder is sitting here listening to you, but it's okay to use the words, because that's one of the things we need, mm-hmm. is the words that have been used.
Mm-hmm. No, all they think is that a man and a woman, straight people, I think that, anyways, I used to look at a gay person, or more commonly known as a queer, mm-hmm. all right, and think, oh my God, I don't want their mouth touching my glass, because all they use is their mouth.
Uh-huh.
All right? Whereas it isn't true. All right? A man and a woman sexually can get more involved and get right down to things that two gay people wouldn't even think of doing. You understand? Have you ever been in that encounter?
Probably, if I knew what you were talking about. I probably have, but I'm not sure of exactly what you're talking about.
Well, they have a... Well, in their minds, their sex isn't dirty, see? But a man and a woman can get, like, what goes on behind the closed doors, all right?
Like, other than straight intercourse.
Right.
Yeah.
A man and a woman can get really into sex and be asked to do things to one another where two gay kids wouldn't even think of doing, you know?
Like what
sexually.
Kinds of things?
Well, they can't... They can't do a blowjob because they don't have a dick.
That certainly makes sense from here.
So things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
But women do have oral sex.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't. I know of a butch that wouldn't think of having oral sex. Would not think of it.
Really.
And I was involved with her.
Uh-huh.
And strictly what you call a diker.
Okay.
Would not have oral sex. Wouldn't even think of it.
This is somebody that you went out
with
in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever talk to her about oral sex?
Not really.
And she never brought it up?
Well, she wouldn't have no part of it.
She wouldn't even talk about it?
To her, no.
How old was she?
She's my age, your age. She's about 44, 45.
So she comes from out of the same era.
Right, uh-huh. The same era, but to have oral sex, no. She was strictly dyking, strictly.
And what was dyking? You know, we don't have a real definition of dyking.
You don't really?
Not on these tapes. You got it. It's your show. Okay, what's dyking?
What is dyking? Shave another drink on that one. It's when a butch and a femme, the femme plays the female, the woman part, and the butch plays the male part. Mm-hmm. And the male lays on the female just like a man would to a woman, uh-huh. Except for there's no intercourse, but there's a very intimate feeling in it that goes on.
But other parts
it's
of the
like
body
it,
press
with
together.
Other
part,
right.
What do they use? I mean, okay. What part of the body does the butch use?
What do you call it?
So you press crotches together.
Right.
And what does that do?
It does the same thing as a man would do, except for you don't feel the penis inside of you.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Did you like that when it...
Oh, it's very beautiful.
Uh-huh. That's great. I've never been
badly.
Able to do that.
Oh.
Really? I'm too fat, I think. But I've never been able to do that. I know people who do, though. And who love it.
Oh, yeah, it's very intimate.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's more so than just having oral sex.
You think it is?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I think you get a much closer relationship and everything. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think that is the first clear definition that we've gotten of dyking. You know, people have used the word, but nobody's really totally mm-hmm. defined it. And then when you went to your relationships after this woman, had you had other kinds of sex before her?
Yeah, I was with others that were, that wasn't my first one that was strictly a dyker. I had been involved with another one that was, but she was too domineering for me, and the feeling really wasn't there. I was just first coming out, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I went on to better things, as far as the gay life. Mm-hmm. And then there's others that you do strictly oral, all right? And myself, I think you get more of a more intimacy with dyking than just oral. I think oral is fine, but I think it's, you're not as intimate with it.
Close.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
What is it about dyking that makes you feel more close?
Well, it's the person that you're involved with, number one.
Sure.
You just can't do it with anybody.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know, it's the thing you work on, you build, and you put your act together.
Uh-huh. Is it, I would guess it would be the full body contact.
Mm-hmm. You're right, it is. It's the full body.
When you were with other women, some of them, their major form of sex was not dyking.
No, some don't even know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
Theirs is strictly oral.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Did you ever want to do dyking with them?
I don't know. If it was there, it was there. If it wasn't, it wasn't. You know what I mean?
I see.
It's something that you have to, both parties, it has to come from both, you know,
uh-huh.
Not just one or whatever. And like I say, it's something that not everyone can do.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. What was it like for you when you first thought you wanted to make love to a lover?
That I wanted to make love to a lover?
Did you ever?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
I've been there.
What brought you to that?
Not to everyone.
Oh, okay.
the closeness or the feelings that I had for the person. I would not, that would not come to me for just any person I went out with.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So what did you feel? You wanted to, what?
Yeah, you happen to, for some odd godly reason, fall for this person, and you get closer and closer, and before you know, you want to be part. It's being part of. It's not just a part of having sex, you know, or to say it. It's just like any love romance, mm-hmm. you know.
How did you feel the first time you ever did?
Very stupid.
Why? I know exactly what you mean.
It's your first time around, you know? You don't really know what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you pick up if you've had oral sex, if they've done it, you know, it comes naturally too, I think. If you really, you know, first you don't, you're shy and whatever, you know.
Uh-huh. But you learn then by the what people
time
do
you're
to you.
A pro.
Second right. time, the second time you're a pro? That's great.
The second time you're a pro.
First time you feel stupid, second time you're a pro. That's great. How did the woman you made love to feel? How did she react? How did she react when you first asked her? Or didn't you ask?
She wanted me to.
Did she ask you, or?
No, but she didn't stop you, okay?
Okay. You made moves.
Though. Right.
And then what happened?
And then we made love.
And it worked?
Yeah. I guess it did.
Because you did it again? How did you feel after?
I don't know. It's hard to remember, you know, how you felt afterwards. It's rather hard.
You don't remember how you, what you talked about afterwards? Or?
No, I just asked, was it satisfying, you know, did I do all right or anything? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's getting to know the body.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's so far back then, you know, it's difficult to
remember
all that.
Uh-huh. And then after that, did you make love to all your lovers after that?
No. No.
Just special ones?
Which, yeah, like the one girl I told you, she dressed very, very butchy. She was an introvert, you know, stayed very, very much to herself, very non-talkative.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't mingle with the others, you know. And, you know, tattoos on her arms, and she really looked like rugged, she looked rough, you know. Mm-hmm. But when she got in bed, she was just as femme as any femme.
Was she?
Uh-huh.
How was that for you, that change?
Well, I happened to care for her, and, you know, naturally I wanted to because I cared for her.
Uh-huh.
So it really didn't bother me. It's not like something was pushed on me that I didn't want,
uh-huh.
you know. But, once that, mostly, three, four that I've been with are really, like two of them were dykers, really strictly dykers and untouchable.
You couldn't make love to them?
No. And I really didn't expect it.